All right. Let me welcome everybody. So glad to have y'all here on all of our six Compassion Christian campuses. Those of you who are joining us on the live stream, we're glad that you're with us as well. Hey, let's show some love to everybody on all of our campuses. We get started out today here. Just give a greeting to everybody on all of our campuses. Everybody, thank God we're here together tonight. Good. You know, we're one church that meets in multiple locations so that we can reach everybody with the good news. And this week, we are in the second week of a series of messages that we're calling Soul Detox. And we're talking about some spiritual resolutions that we can make at the top of the year that we hope will make this our best year yet. And I guarantee you, this will be your best year yet if you take some steps to make it your best spiritual year yet. Now, last week, we studied where Jesus encouraged us to pay attention to the health of our heart and our soul and our mind and then our strength. And we talked about detoxing our heart in ways that would make it obvious to everybody who knows us. Now, I don't know how much TV you watch. For me, it's mostly news and ball games and movies. And then Sarah and I sometimes speed watch series. I know we're probably the only ones doing that. It's just so we understand the culture. It's a ministry thing. You know what I'm saying? But many times, honestly, you know, we're watching some depraved commercial will come on. And I find myself saying, did you see that? I mean, you see that couple? You see that living situation? You see that dysfunctional lifestyle that everybody on the TV just pretending is okay? And so I just draw attention to it because I don't want my kids and my grandkids to think that those kind of depraved values are acceptable, even if it's on TV and everybody else is going, uh-huh. But twice this year, I saw something on TV and I said, did you see that? It was awesome. One was on ESPN. Monday night. And the other one, believe it or not, was on MTV, all right? Monday night after the National College Football Championship, I turned to my boys, we're all watching this game, and I said, dude, did you see that? On national television, Coach Dabo Swinney gave glory to God for winning that national championship and said that the joy of his life that he found as a coach and a leader primarily did not come from winning football games, but by putting Jesus and others before yourself on national television, which I thought was kind of gutsy. You know, we talked about it last week. Whatever fills your heart is going to just come right out of your mouth. That man's heart is so full of faith that it comes right out of his mouth after every ball game in the biggest winning moment of his career. Now, I think, you know, here's a really successful guy who by God's grace has detoxed his heart. But you know, Jesus said we need to pay attention to our soul as well. And that led me to my next, did you see that moment on television? And friends, this happened at the MTV Generation Award was presented to Chris Pratt last June. Now, Chris is a comedian and an actor. And when they gave him this award for his achievement in movie making, he leveraged that opportunity by sharing 9 rules to live by with the next generation. And when he finished those 9 rules to live by, I asked Sarah, baby, did you hear that? Did you see what he just did on MTV? Now, I did mention he's a comedian, right? And he really appeals to the youngest generation. So some of his 9 rules I won't even mention because they're just goofy and maybe intentionally goofy to get his younger fans to actually listen to the other 7. So 1 is just goofy. Funny way to start. I'm not even going to tell you what it was. 2... You have a soul. Be careful with it. When's the last time you heard somebody on television in our culture refer to somebody's soul when they were actually talking about the eternal, unique essence of who you are? 3, don't be a obnoxious person. I won't say what he said. He said, if you're strong, be a protector. If you're smart, be a humble influencer. Strength and intelligence can be weapons. Do not wield them against the weak. That makes you a bully. Be bigger than that. That's a good word. 4 was about how to give your dog medicine. We all know, put it in hamburger, so I'm not going to mention that one either, all right? 5, it doesn't matter what it is, earn it. You know, I think he's trying to encourage his young fans to work hard at actually making a difference in life. He said, you know, do a good deed. Reach out to somebody in pain. Be of service. It feels good, and it's good for your soul. Brought it up again. 6, God is real. God loves you. God wants the best for you. Believe that. I do. At his acceptance speech on MTV's annual award show broadcast. I couldn't believe it. Number seven, total middle school bathroom humor. Let's just move on, all right? Number eight, learn to pray. It's easy and it's so good for your soul. And then number nine, nobody is perfect. People are gonna tell you all your life that you're perfect just the way you are. You are not. You are imperfect. You always will be, but there is a powerful force that designed you that way. And if you're willing to accept that, you will have grace. And grace is a gift, like the freedom that we enjoy in this country. That grace was paid for with somebody else's blood. Do not forget that. Don't take it for granted. Now, friends, Chris Pratt is not a theologian. Excuse me, he's an actor, right? He was in Jurassic Park and Guardians of the Galaxy and Zero Dark Thirty and stuff like that. But he is a Christian that has a platform, and as a follower of Jesus, he used it to speak a word of spiritual encouragement to his fans about protecting their soul. Now, I don't know Chris, but apparently, since he became a follower of Jesus, it's obvious to him that everybody has a soul, and some souls are getting healthier, and some souls desperately need detox. Now, friends, one of the spiritual realities that we need to embrace as we start talking about our souls is that we are not bodies that happen to have a soul. We are souls that happen to have a body. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, when we read about God creating mankind, it says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living, say it with me, everybody, soul. So you're not a body with a soul. You are an eternal soul that temporarily is housed in a physical body. But the truth is that many of us here today are living with a tortured soul. Tortured. You know why? Maybe nobody ever told you that your soul is vulnerable and you need to be careful with it. Consequently, many of us have a tortured soul today because there is some ingrained pattern of, of secret sin in our life. And no matter how hard we've tried, we just can't get a handle on it. There's some habit, there's some hang up, and we just can't let it go. And friends, I'm not saying that if you have some secret sin, you're a problem. I'm saying we all have stuff in our lives that tortures our soul. Can I get an amen? Amen. From everybody who is spiritually conscious, we all have it. Even the Apostle Paul, I mean, one of the great early leaders of the church who gave his life for Jesus said, I just don't understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. You ever felt that way? I mean, of course you have. I know I have, and I know I still do. Friends, Paul is saying that his soul, is tortured by forces that affect his life and then lead him to do things that he doesn't want to do, and he does it anyway, and it's just so stinking frustrating. There's this internal battle going on. There's this torture going on in his soul. I mean, you tell me if you ever remember making a promise to God like this, Lord, I did something I'm really ashamed of, and I'm so sorry, please forgive me. I promise I will never, ever, ever do this thing again. And then the next week, or the next day, or the next hour, you do it again. If you've ever done it, just go, So you feel like a failure. You feel like a failure who's living this duplicitous life in front of your family and your friends and people you work with and your church family. And inside, it just feels like you're being tortured by failure. And as hard as you try, you have never found the power to change. I mean, you feel like a person who's standing in a bucket and trying to lift it by the handles. And you ain't getting very far. You know, Peter was another friend of Jesus who described this battle that goes on in our soul. In 1 Peter 2:11, he said, dear friends, I want to urge you as aliens and strangers in this world. He's talking to believers. This world is not your home. We're just living here for a little while. Our home is in heaven, right? I want to urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. What's the target in this battle between evil desires and God's will for you? What's going to get damaged? It's your soul. Friends, we're in a battle for our soul, and our soul gets tortured when we get captured by some sinful desire. Now, you know, I'm at this stage right now, with my grandchildren where they like to go fishing and I like to take them fishing, right? But when you think about it, how dumb can a fish be? I mean, you ever thought about how dumb they are? Here's this worm with a hook in it, hanging in the middle of nowhere with a line going up to heaven, and they want to bite it. I mean, you know, it's like, come here, buddy boy, just have a little taste of this, it'll be good for you. I mean, you wonder if his buddy doesn't want to say, whoa, big fella, I know that looks like a tasty worm, but not really. You bite that thing, it's going to hook you, it's going to trap you, it's going to snatch you up out of here, far away from anything that ever feels safe for you again. But these goofy fish are so dumb. They fall for it over and over and over again. You think at some point they'd say, worm, suspended in the middle of the water, under the shade of a burnside bopper, hanging on a sharp hook, pass. You know, they say fish spend their whole lives in school, but they don't learn very much, do they? You think about it. Now, unfortunately, I know, I apologize for that. That was a dumb joke. Unfortunately, though, everybody here has done a very similar thing one way or another. We form these habits, and then we coddle them until they hook us. And for some of us, they're dragging you to a bad place right now. I mean, for some of us, it's a little plastic card that says Visa or MasterCard on it. And pretty regularly, you get this budget-busting urge to just go buy whatever you want, whenever you want. And some of us are feeling the bite of that a little bit right now because of what we did at Christmas time. Others of us, dude, that's how we roll all the time, all year long. For others of us, it's a weed that you roll up in a little piece of white paper. I don't know how to do it. I saw that on television while I was watching with Sarah. And you know what you tell yourself is, I can quit anytime I want to. But even though this habit has caused you a lot of pain in your life and you've been suffering that pain since high school, I'm telling you, a day without it is like a day without sunshine for you. Wonder why? Maybe it's meth. Or you know, maybe you're telling yourself you're different because your drug comes with a prescription. But you know that drug's got a hook in you. Or maybe for you, it's a little screen. It's a little smartphone, a little iPad, a little laptop, and you watch stuff almost every day that if anybody else knew you were looking at it, you'd be really embarrassed. And it would deeply hurt some people that you love. Maybe the thing that hooks you is a beverage, and you just gotta have it every day. And if you don't get it, things get a little tense in your world. And people start seeing another side of you when you don't get that drink at just the right time. Or maybe it's video poker machine or lottery ticket, slot machine. Stop anytime you want to. Of course, it's been 25 years, but I can stop anytime I want to. Maybe it's a temper and it runs you. And it is an issue for the people you live with, your friends, your coworkers. Your dog walks on eggshells around you because he knows. Maybe it's a sexual sin and it's really embarrassing. Maybe life has left you so numb that you cut yourself just so you can feel something. And you wear long sleeves to cover the scars, hoping nobody's gonna know. Maybe it's stealing. And you know how dumb it is, how reckless it is, but you just can't stop. You know, we all know that if that secret became public, it'd be bad. And so, because we know how bad it would be, our souls are tortured every day because we are coddling and hiding these dangerous secret sins every day. Now, you know, when I fish with my grandkids, we almost always do what's called catch and release. Now, you catch it, you take a picture of it, you release it. Have you ever wondered what that would be like for the fish? You know, you take the bait and you get hooked, and then the fish thinks, I can't believe I was this stupid. I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I did this again. And then there's this pressure, and it's dragging me, and we're going in a dangerous direction. And then I'm pulled out of safety, and everything looks weird and strange, and there's a flash, and then somebody takes me in their hands and lowers me back in the water and releases me. I've done this 100 times, and you know how it works every time? You release the fish, and he makes a little slow movement, and then gone, 500 miles an hour. It's like he's bugging out going, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Wouldn't you love to feel like that? Free from whatever that thing is that tortures you in the darkness? If so, that kind of soul detox is going to require you to take two steps. Number one, we confess our sin to God for forgiveness. Friends, the need for forgiveness is a universal need. Everybody say universal. Universal. We all need it. And so if your soul has been detoxed by a relationship with Jesus and you feel healthier and stronger today than you did in January of 2018, it's probably because somebody loved you enough to teach you a principle from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Y'all, let's say it all together. If we confess our sins, to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all. Oh, y'all ran right by me here. All, big old Southern goofy all. Y'all ready for this? All together. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Dude, that's good news. I mean, everybody here should memorize this verse. It's an if-then verse. If we confess our sin to God, then he will be faithful and just and forgive us that sin because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross to bear the punishment for our guilt of our sin. And then Jesus will purify us. Jesus will cleanse us. Jesus will bury our sins in the deepest sea where the Lord says, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And that's so hard for some of us to believe because it's hard for us to forget the bad things we do because the devil can use guilt over that stuff to make you feel like a failure because you have failed so many times. But the truth is, when you come to Jesus and you confess whatever the sin it is that's tripped you up and you ask for forgiveness, he forgives you. Anybody want to say amen? Amen. And then 6 months later, the devil brings out the guilt stick and starts beating you with it. And you ask the Lord, Lord, you remember what we did on prom night? Remember that business trip last year to London? Remember last week when I begged you to forgive me for what I said to my mother? And he says, no, don't remember that. I forgave that, right? Yes, sir. Well, then I have chosen not to remember that anymore. So when I think of you, I never think of that. I forgave you. Done. Anybody want to say thank God? But here's the thing. Many of us, after we pray and we authentically ask for forgiveness and we receive it, we're just like the Apostle Paul. We're frustrated because we find ourselves doing it again. So we come back again and we pray again for forgiveness for the same thing the next day, the next week, the next month. And though we believe God forgives us because he does forgive us, this repetitive sin pattern just tortures our soul. Every time we give in to temptation and we do it again. And you know why that is? I mean, after promising to stop and quit and never do it again, why can't we seem to break free from this pattern of sin in our life? Well, maybe it's because faithfulness in the face of temptation is the good fight. And we're going to have to fight the good fight against temptation until the day you die and you go to heaven. Y'all hear about the guy asked the old Catholic priest, Father, How long will it be before sexual temptation is no longer an issue for me? And the priest said, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't trust myself till I've been in heaven for 3 days. All right. We're going to fight this fight till we get to heaven. And we are not going to win every round. But that doesn't mean we're not in the fight. And God knows we're in the fight. And he loves us for being in that fight. But the truth is, when we fail, it's torture. Maybe the reason we endure this torture so much is because we've only understood half of what confession really means. You know, when Jesus healed someone, pretty often there was a physical next step that he required before the full healing took place. Excuse me. He wanted to heal. He intended to heal. But very often he did not fully heal until the person took a courageous next step. I mean, you remember the story in John 9, man born blind. They bring this man to Jesus. Jesus, can you heal him? Of course. Jesus makes some mud, rubs it on the eyes of the blind man, tells him, go to the pool of Siloam on the other side of town, wash this mud off your eyes, and you'll be healed. And then the man was blind when he met Jesus. He remained blind while Jesus rubbed mud on his eyes. He remained blind when he was deciding whether to take this next step and go to the Pool of Siloam or not. And then he took that next difficult step and he made his way through the city and he endured the possible embarrassment of walking through town with mud all over his face. And he arrived at the Pool of Siloam and didn't say, I'm here. He knelt down and washed that mud off his eyes. And after all those difficult next steps, a miracle took place. He was healed. And friends, so many stories in the Bible work just like this. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus healed 10 men who were dying of a terminal disease of leprosy. He told them what their next difficult step would be. Go, present yourself to the priest. And they took that next difficult step. They went into public where they could be stoned. They went to the priest where they'd been rejected. They showed themselves. And as they were going, the leprosy was healed. These folks had been tortured by leprosy and blindness. Tortured. But when they were willing to take that next difficult step, healing came. Now, friends, if you want to detox your soul and go to the next level in your relationship with God, you will always be required to take a next difficult step. Even Jesus was. I mean, you remember the night that Jesus died? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's thinking about the cross. And man, all the suffering and pain that's on the horizon as he takes the weight of all of our sin on himself. And it was so horrible to him that he actually asked the Father, Lord, if there's any other way that I can save these people without having to go to that cross, please let this cup pass from me. And God said, no, somebody's got to pay that price. And it's either going to be them or you. And Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. And he took that next difficult step and he went to that cross so that our guilt could be paid for and our sins could be forgiven, our soul could be detoxed and healed. So here's what I want you to consider. Friends, the first step is we confess our sin to God for forgiveness. Absolutely. But there's a second step you must take if you want to detox your soul. We have to confess our sins to others to gain healing for our sins. Friends, confessing our sin to God is a great place to start. It can be a painful place to start, but honestly, confessing your sin to God is never the hard part. I mean, in order to put that sin behind us, the next difficult step is to confess that sin to a trusted friend. That's the difficult part. Now, I know many of you are thinking, Cam, I could barely summon the courage to whisper this to God. Ain't no way in the world I'm telling anybody else. I know, man. And that's why so many Christians are tortured. You know, people who have been forgiven by God, and yet they continue to carry a tortured soul because they refuse to take this next difficult step, which would actually bring healing to this part of your life and peace to that tortured soul. Jesus' brother James is the one who teaches us this in James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. What is the outcome of sharing this with a trusted friend and having them pray for you? That's when the healing comes. Friends, James was the brother of Jesus. He's trying to teach us something that's just life-changing here. Listen, the whole 12-step recovery movement in America is based on this biblical principle. Humble honesty with a trusted friend is where our healing will often begin. Now, I know it rhymes and some of y'all are too cool to say stuff like that, but let's just try it anyway, shall we? Humble honesty with a trusted friend. Man, when we humble ourselves and we risk honesty with another person, all of a sudden this freedom comes that you will never experience until you take that risk. Man, when you break out of denial mode and you stop hiding, and you take that torturer that has beaten you to death in the darkness, and then you drag it out into the light. You know, I got a friend in the church here who struggled with porn in high school. And I pray for this guy every week. We get together and we pray every week. He confesses and we pray every week. He comes to church, looks me up, and then he'll say, Pastor Cam, 396 days. 396 days. That's how long we've been confessing and praying with each other. And he's been free, torture free, for 396 days. he begged God to forgive him for a long time and failed and failed and failed and was just tortured by this. He knew the right thing to do, could not do it, was tortured by that. But when he summoned his courage and he told a trusted friend all the details of his failure, he was not rejected, he was blessed. And he asked that friend to hold him accountable. And friends, that's when the healing began 396 days ago. Now, you don't confess to everybody, but you do need to confess to somebody that you trust. There's got to be somebody who can keep a confidence. Don't want to see this on Instagram, amen? Don't want to see any tweets about this, no Facebook comments about this. But friends, if you would summon your courage and tell a trusted friend who will pray for you about the thing that is torturing your soul in the darkness, James tells us that you will find a healing and a freedom from that sin in the light that you have never known before. And like I said last week, this is why I'm so passionate about all of us being involved in a life group. Because, man, that's where you're most likely to find that trusted friend. This is why so many people have found help and hope here at Compassion in our support groups and our community care ministries, like our monthly Compassion Night and Divorce Care and Grief Care and Celebrate Recovery. So many people have found this healing power of honestly confessing to each other in an environment where people will pray for them. Pray for you. Call the power of heaven into play in your life. Hey, I'm Cam. I'm an alcoholic. Please pray for me. Hey, I'm Cam. I'm a sex addict. Please pray for me. Hey, I'm Cam. I'm struggling with anger issues. I'm struggling with codependency, whatever it might be. Please pray for me. James says when we confess our sin to a loving friend and we drag that junk out of the darkness where it is strong into the light where God makes us strong. So friends, here's the whole message in one sentence. We confess our sins to God for forgiveness. We confess our sins to others for healing prayer. So here's the question of the day. When are you going to take the courageous, difficult next step that you know you need to take and confess your sin, not just to God, but to a trusted friend, so you don't have to live with a tortured soul any longer? Excuse me, y'all. Now let me summon my courage and let me run the risk of getting you mad at me and having you write me off or walk out the doors of our church and say, I ain't never coming back. Let me take a risk by speaking the truth in love to you. Because God cares about you too much, and I care about you too much to just sit by and watch you go through life with a tortured soul. Friends, God has a better story in his mind for you. And that next step is going to be difficult. It's going to require some courage. And I don't want to be condescending in any way, but you know, I'm going to be accountable to God for every word I have shared on this stage. And one day I want to be able to look at my Father and say, I spoke the truth in love even when it was hard. So let's talk about some very practical, very difficult next steps that some of us here need to take in our lives. Some of you need to quit drinking. You need to quit drinking because you have a drinking problem and you can't handle it. And if you don't know it, everybody who loves you does. And if you're thinking right now, Cam, how do I know if I have a drinking problem? Well, here's the test. Ask yourself, has anybody that I love in the last 90 days said, I have a drinking problem? Because if anybody that cares about you has said that, you have a drinking problem. I mean, maybe you're one of these people who have a glass of wine every night in order to relax, and then it turns into two, and then three, and then four, and whatever. And you're thinking, well, I'm not addicted to that. Okay, fine, let's find out. Give it up for 30 days and see how that goes. And we'll find out whether you got a hook in you or not. Maybe you're one of these people who have to have a drink in your hand in every social setting. Maybe you're one of these folks who drink every day. Dude, you need to confess that to a trusted spiritual friend. You have a problem. You need to just say it. I got a problem. That is a difficult next step, but it is a step toward freedom. All right, let's talk about food. And before I say anything about that, let me just confess this is one of my struggles. I never thought twice about my weight until I was in my 30s. And then apparently my metabolism changed or my intake changed or both and some other stuff. And healthy weight has been a constant struggle for me ever since. Now, for those of you who struggle with this, I struggle with this as well. Paul said The body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Carrie Newhoff says, food is the drug of choice for many Christians. But being full does not cure the emptiness of soul. Some of us have a difficult next step to take. Others of us have the opposite side of this issue. You don't struggle with being overweight. You struggle with bulimia. And the reason you struggle with this eating disorder is because the way you see yourself is based way too much on the way models look on television and movies and magazines, rather than the fact that you are the treasured child of the Most High God who sent his son to die for you. You are his treasured daughter who was made in the image of your father. You are beautiful in his sight, precious and valued to him, so you don't have to live this way anymore. But you have a difficult next step in front of you. And I'm praying you will summon your courage and take it. Tell somebody. Some of you men here, if the studies are correct, 50% of you and an increasing number of women, and by that I mean 20 to 25% of the women in our culture are addicted to porn. You've been a follower of Jesus for years, but you are a follower of Jesus who is addicted to porn, which is why you are so tortured over this. And you know how this cycle goes, right? You look at porn, you feel bad because you should feel bad. Then you cry out to God, then you confess it, and then you pray and you promise, I'm never, never, never gonna do this again. And then 10 o'clock the next night, you do it again. Now friends, the only way you're ever gonna get past this is to drag this torturer out of the darkness by confessing it to another trusted man or woman who will encourage you to put this addiction to death. And I know what a lot of you guys are thinking right now, Cam, I don't need to do that, bro. I just need to pray. If I just pray more, God will deliver me from this. Hallelujah, Jesus. Really? How's that working for you? How's that working for you? Because you've been praying about this for a decade now. Maybe what you should do is pray for God to send you a trusted friend. Pray for God to help you find a trusted friend with whom you can share this, who will pray for you and will hold you accountable. Some of you are having sex with somebody you're not married to. That is sexual sin. Gotta go. Can't date like that anymore. Gotta detox that. Maybe you're married and you're flirting with committing adultery. You give into that temptation and it will contaminate your heart and torture your soul. You gotta tell a trusted friend. You gotta tell on yourself to somebody who loves you enough to help you put up firewalls to protect you from yourself when you're with somebody you're not married to. Some of you are in an online relationship with a married person, but they ain't married to you. Counselors say 80% of the adultery that they're seeing in their offices has a Facebook component. Facebook's where it starts. Married men and women in our community signing up on dating sites, getting connected in ways that you know are inappropriate, that you know are ungodly, is corrupt. You need to tell a trusted friend. You need to man up so you can be healed before it destroys everything you love. For some of you, it's a forgiveness issue. You got someone in your life you hate. They wronged you, they hurt you, they wounded you. Listen, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. All right, I know all about that. But you're thinking, Cam, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. But I know what they did to Jesus. They crucified him, and while they were killing him, he was praying, Father, forgive them. And he was forgiving them. And that same Jesus lives in you, if you're his follower. Now, of course, you can't forgive him on your own, but if you're a follower of Jesus, you're not on your own. Can I get an amen? Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now, man, if somebody's done more to you than they did to Jesus, maybe you get a pass on this one. But I doubt it. So if your soul is being tortured because you have chosen to carry hate and unforgiveness in your heart, I want to encourage you in the name of Jesus to confess that sin to God and tell some godly friend who can help you detox this hate. And I promise you, you will be shocked how much better you feel the first time you share in the open. You confess that to another friend in the open. And that's soul torture stops. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that we should act like what they did was okay, because it wasn't okay. And we're not talking about ever trusting them again. Not talking about trusting them again. Trust has to be earned. But you know, forgiveness can be extended to someone that you would be foolish to trust. You'd be an idiot to trust. And we're not talking about laying down and letting somebody cheat on you over or abuse you over and over again. Man, you may need to take action so that your kids don't think this weirdness is normal. But what I am talking about is refusing to live another day with hate and unforgiveness, torturing your soul. Because you can ask God for forgiveness and you can share it with a trusted friend and find freedom from that. Some of you married couples need to ask for help. You know why? Because your marriage is sick and it's getting sicker and you know it. But Cam, if we ask people for help, they're going to know our marriage is in trouble. Guess what? When you start going to divorce, they're also going to know your marriage is in trouble. Friends, it's not easy to take that difficult next step. It's just always the right thing to take that next step. And listen, nothing I've said here today is meant to be condemning. I've struggled with many of these things myself. You know, this is a church where one of our mottos is no perfect people allowed. Amen? No perfect people allowed. We don't think any of us are perfect. And we despise it when people pretend. Friends, we confess our sins to God for forgiveness. We confess our sins to others for healing. And some of you are at a crossroads right now. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now, you can continue to live with a tortured soul because you're hiding some secret sin. You can walk this road of destruction all alone, continuing to hurt yourself and everybody you love and everybody who loves you. Or you can take a hard, courageous step and confess your sin to God. And then confess your sin to somebody who will pray for you and let the healing of God begin in your life. Now, I'm getting ready to wrap this up. And I want to just ask you, do not leave this room early. Don't even think about leaving early. You will distract somebody for whom this may be the most important moment of their life today. The challenge for you is not going to be to confess your sin to God because He already knows. And the challenge is not going to be finding forgiveness because Jesus already paid the price for that. The most difficult step is going to be for you to confess your sin to somebody you trust for healing. And so there are two questions you need to consider. And maybe God can help you with this. What is the hidden sin in your life? And who do you need to tell? What is the hidden sin in your life? And who do you need to tell? And friends, I've done this so long. I'm telling you, man, if you don't do something in 48 hours, you're going to let this go. If you don't tell somebody within 48 hours, you know what? You're just going to drag that same old bag of rocks through 2019, just like you did through 2018. So here's my challenge. Talk to somebody in the next 48 hours. The thing you have begged God to forgive you for. Tell a trusted friend about it in the next 48 hours. Make the phone call. Arrange the meeting. Send the text. Shed the tears. Yes, it will be a brutal day. But it will also be one of the best days of your life and the beginning of a string of days where your soul is not tortured anymore. Now, the buddy who shared with me has been free for the last 396 days, torture free. That could be you. That could be you. Let's detox this hidden sin and watch what God does with our soul. Father, thank you. Thank you for creating us, not as evolutionary products, but as people who have an eternal soul. We have a personality. We have an essence about us, Lord, that's going to live forever. It will outlast this physical body. It will outlast this world. And so we need to be careful with that. Some of us have been letting our soul be tortured every day, and we know what's torturing it, and we know why. Because it's a secret. We keep it in the dark where it can grow like a fungus. And it's killing us. We're going to go to heaven, Lord, because we have a relationship with you. Our sins have been forgiven. We're just living with this residual torture because we haven't taken the steps your word says will take us down the path to healing. And I want to thank you for all the courageous souls who are at Celebrate Recovery, you know, every week, you know, who are in our support groups every week, just straight up honest, hey, I got a problem with this. And in that honesty, they have found accountability and freedom and peace and joy. And I pray, God, that'll be everybody in our church in 48 hours. And we pray this in Jesus' strong name, Lord. Amen.